time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're going to be talking with Stu Smith, who is a former Navy SEAL and a fitness author. Stu, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Andrew.
Glad to have you here. I found Stu because he has done a lot of writing about fitness and about health and about sleep, and he and I have had an opportunity to have a good conversation. I wanted to share that with the audience. So, Stu, in the work that you do as a fitness coach and a fitness author, can you open us up by telling us what are some of the most important things that people should be aware of if they're trying to live their optimal life?
Okay, so first I would say some form of activity needs to be consistently done. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what that activity is. It could be yard work, it could be walking, it could be doing triathlons, it could be powerlifting. Whatever those activities are, just be consistent with them. And you can make it a wide variety of all of them if you wish and just be a little more well-rounded with more elements of fitness. But I would say after activity, just finding a way to move, the biggest is, I think, your number one recovery tool from stress, whether that is physical stress you're putting on yourself with work or fitness activities, or it's just daily stress, family stress, work stress, life stress, is sleep. Our bodies are built to recover from stress primarily from a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, there's all types of discussions we can have on how to get a good night's sleep, and we can go through some of those tips. But the other part of that balance, right? You got the stress and recovery scale. Just think of it like a seesaw, right? The more stress you put on it, the more recovery you're going to have to focus on. You're going to have to focus on your sleep. You're going to have to focus on good food choices. You're going to have to focus on hydration and electrolytes, especially if you're sweating profusely. Mm-hmm. And breathing. You know, there are tools that you can use just to naturally decompress by inhaling and exhaling a little bit deeper.
Right.
So I would say that is the big four of recovery, and sleep is the number one of all of them.
Great, great. So I definitely do want to be able to get into each of these deeper, but let me ask this first question. In the sort of fitness community, I'm sure you talk with a lot of other fitness instructors and people in your field. Is there a recognition universally about sleep, or is that just some people kind of get it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I will be honest with you. I evolved into this current thinking probably in my 30s when I realized I could no longer outwork my diet, when I realized my recovery from previous workouts were taking longer. I used to stay out late and go do fun things when I was younger. And there was a time in my life where I said, you know what? I can't ever see me not going out Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
I think I was 21 at the time, or 22. Life changes when you get married and have kids, and you know, it's Friday nights are like, get to chill out at the house. You know, so I think through this life's evolution, you know, you can probably burn the candle at both ends pretty well in your teens. Mm-hmm. And your body is just able to handle that, even so in your 20s. But by the time you get into your 30s, it starts to come back in multiple ways, like previous injuries from contact sport say, hey, remember me, right? And you, next thing you know, you have a shoulder pain that you hadn't had for 15 years. I would say not everybody has that need for sleep, but everybody will have that need for sleep as we age. But I will tell you this in hindsight, I wish I'd have focused a little better on my sleep when I was younger, and I can tell you where my weaknesses were then probably would not have been as big of a weakness that I had to overcompensate, you know, and really focus on had I just recovered better from the previous day's training.
Right. Right. So answer this for me, because I am curious. You were a Navy SEAL, which means that you were the elite of the elite. And I really appreciate you doing that for us. And I'm sure you went through a lot of very rigorous training, a lot of heavy exercise, a lot of things to get to that designation. Does the military recognize that sleep is an important factor along with these other things?
Well, they do, but part of the training is, you know, sometimes you're being forced to do without, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes days turn into nights and you're still working, and that is something you have to get used to. I mean, there's a week in SEAL training that you don't sleep for a week.
Wow.
Yeah, you may get a couple hours here and there, but it's 120 hours straight, and for the most part, there's no sleep to it.
Wow.
I mean, I think they do give you, as I recall, there was some kind of break we had, and I think I slept like 3 hours. But I will tell you this, I would almost rather have not been asleep at that time, just because when we all woke up, we had to go back into what we were doing, everybody was so sore. Right. Yeah. And just getting up out of bed was the hard part. Just staying awake would have been a little easier.
Wow.
So there's a lot of events and times and where you just don't get to sleep. And
right.
Yes, chronic stress from not sleeping is a very difficult thing, not only in the military jobs and the special ops jobs, but just your first responders and police work and firefighters. Those guys are working night shifts. And, you know, anytime you're awake overnight and you have to try to sleep during the day, you know, it's very difficult to do. And,
right.
you know, your rhythms just aren't on in sync with its natural processes. And sometimes that's a hard one to overcome. And it's not something that you see immediately, but gradually that turns into a chronic stress and it starts exhibiting itself as, you know, really challenging illnesses, everything
right.
from high blood pressure and diabetes and stroke. You know, there are some things that without that sleep, you can really, you know, have those chronic stress illnesses start to creep into you as we age. So it becomes critically important as we age and you're still going into a high stress, you know, work life.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess the same applies to anyone who even works,
Absolutely.
You know, shift work. If
yep.
they have to be at work in the time that normally their body would be sleeping, that's putting a lot of stress on the body because you're fighting your natural circadian rhythm and you have to make these adjustments.
Yeah, it's tough. And that's where, you know, if I've always kind of used that balance metaphor as a way to explain things. So if my sleep wasn't that good, I pulled back a little bit on the physical stress that I was putting on myself. So like if I was working really hard, you know, I might skip that workout that day because the last thing I need to do is bump up that stress even higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I couldn't sleep, I would really focus on my nutrition. And I would really focus on my hydration and add in extra breathing exercises throughout the day to help metabolize some of that stress that is being missed out on a good night's sleep. So there are other natural ways to handle that stress at the end of the day, but you have to be really focused on understanding that balance.
Right.
And have a little bit of internal awareness of like, all right, man, I know I'm tired. I'm a little cranky. Maybe I just need to eat something and I'll be a little less cranky. You know, and I'm not going to be able to sleep well tonight because I got to work all night. Maybe I can take a 30-minute nap, you know, to help me get through that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a bunch of little ways to you know, to get through that, but you have to have some of that internal awareness to help you, you know, just be on top of it. Otherwise, it's real easy to forget it all, and next thing you know, you've kind of turned it into a really big snowball that's hard to stop.
Right, right. Well, it's good to hear from someone who is a fitness instructor, and this is your profession, this is your job, and you're talking about how this has to be partially intentional, and there's a lot of things you can do. So let me dive right into some of the things that you talk to people about when it comes to sleep. What are some tips? What are some must-dos? What are some could-dos that you think about when you talk to people about their sleep habits?
Well, first of all, I look at the day as a 24-hour process. Mm-hmm. Right? Every day is the same. And working out for an hour a day, believe it or not, isn't the hard part. Right? That's the easy part. And mm-hmm. A lot of people make it hard because there's so many other excuses why not to.
Right.
But the actual working out for an hour is the easy part. The hard part is the other 23 hours to help you recover from not only that workout, but life stresses itself. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, regularly scheduled meals that are nutritious, hydrating regularly. So you're not overhydrated, but you're not underhydrated. You know, you need to find that balance somewhere between. Usually I just tell people, you know, 100 ounces a day, right? But that can differ with the size of that person too. Like if you're only 95 pounds, you don't need to drink 100 ounces. So it's
right.
Unfortunately, there's no one size fits all on that one, but you could definitely take a percentage of your body weight and say, you know, let's try that. Mm-hmm. I think the regular standard of hydration is probably 80 ounces, 8-10 ounce glasses a day.
Okay.
But it depends on your activities. You want to go a little higher. And of course the nutrition of eating well and then getting to sleep, you know, I've always had an alarm to remind me of when to get to sleep. Right. So I set an alarm for myself at about 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So that tells me I'm going to turn off my phone, I'm going to turn off my computer, turn off my TV, and for that hour, I am going to try to tune into getting a better night's sleep.
Right, and I love that as sort of an important tip, because we think of alarms as waking up. We don't think about setting an alarm to prepare for sleep. So tell us, you know, when that alarm goes off for you to prepare for sleep. Is there kind of a list of things that people could think about doing as they prepare?
Well, yes. I would say this also. There's a list that starts probably about 5 or 6 hours before that.
Oh, right? Okay.
5 or 6 hours before that, I don't have any more caffeine. In fact, I have recently given up all caffeine sources except for some unsweet decaf tea, which I think there's a little bit of caffeine in there, mm-hmm. Decaf, but I've actually given up caffeine sources, just started this year. I'm 55 years old and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to see how much caffeine I really need in my life.
Right.
And I was drinking a little bit too much, you know, to be honest with you. I drink a lot of unsweet iced tea. You know, I would drink caffeine, but I would always knock it off at about 3 p.m.
Right.
Because I noticed that if I had something at 5 or 6, it was really hard for me to fall asleep at my standard 9 o'clock.
Right.
So my checklist starts mid-afternoon, no more caffeine.
So let me actually jump in and stop you there, because I got to take a commercial break, but we'll come right back from the commercial and we'll get into the rest of the list. So hang on, we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Good, good, good.
All right, we are back on Sleep Science Today with Stu Smith, and we are talking about sleep and nutrition issues. Stu, you were just about to give us your list of things that you do to help prepare for sleep. So please continue.
Yes. So as I mentioned before, you know, I lay off the caffeine 5 or 6 hours before this time. My alarm goes off about 8 o'clock to remind me it's time to start preparing for bed. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, I go to bed at 9, sometimes 9:30. But I also get up at 5 in the morning. So there's a reason why I go to bed at 9, because I try to get 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I only get 7.5. But that alarm just starts to get me prepping for bed by turning off all my electronics. Sometimes if it's a warm night in the summer, I'll take a shower, kind of cool myself down, make sure the air conditioning's on, darken the room, and from there, just kind of chill out, right? And just try to relax a little bit. Deep mm-hmm. inhales, deep exhales. If I do anything, it might be reading, or a lot of times I have found that I keep one of these next to my bed, this little notebook, and you know, it's full of my ideas that I'm going to do tomorrow.
Right.
So it's a great way to get those things that are just going through your mind constantly on paper, and your brain understands, like, okay, that's a tomorrow problem. No need to bring it up tonight while he's trying to go to sleep. Yeah. So that's the way my brain looks at it anyway.
Well, let me just throw a tip in there too, to the audience. So from my perspective as a sleep professional, that's a great tip. We tell people that if you have something on your mind, if there's something that's bothering you, go ahead and write it down and leave it on that notebook next to your nightstand there, because then you don't have to sit there throughout the night ruminating and worrying and trying to make sure you don't forget it. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That's a great tip.
Well, also, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I work for myself, and sometimes in that hour, I get some of my best ideas. Mm-hmm. And I have also discovered if I don't write those down, I will forget about them in the morning. So right. It's useful for a couple of different reasons, for a productivity part at work, but as well as a purpose of just unwinding and getting your intrusive thoughts down on paper mm-hmm. And out of your head. The other one is I put earplugs in my ears. So they're just the real foam earplugs, put them in there. And the reason why I do that is not because necessarily my house is noisy, but I do go to sleep first, so I can hear other conversations going on in the house if I don't do that. But also it enables me to hear myself breathe whenever I'm putting my head on the pillow. I can get into a better rhythm and focus of hearing myself breathe. And what I try to do when I really want to go to sleep is I just start breathing normally through my nose, out my nose, and I hear that air coming in and out. And it's almost hypnotic in a way that it takes away a lot of your thoughts, a lot of those ideas that come in, and then it just helps me relax and fall asleep. However, sometimes I'll get one of those intrusive thoughts in there. And then I saw this really neat trick. I can't remember where I saw it. I wish I could give the guy credit for it. But he said whenever you have one of these intrusive thoughts that come in, mm-hmm. your head, and you're laying down, you're trying to go to sleep, and you've already written it down, say to yourself, I wonder what I'm going to think of next.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So
say to yourself, I wonder what I'm going to think of next. Whenever you have that thought. And then your brain almost goes blank. It's really strange. You know, and you may think of something next in about 10 or 15 seconds, but you focus on your breathing for that 10 or 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then when you think of something, you don't really give it any attention, but you just say to yourself again, I wonder what I'm going to think of next. And that gives you another like 10 or 15, maybe even a minute's worth of breathing time to focus on. And I've fallen asleep as quickly as 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow.
You know, my wife is just like, I can't believe you're asleep already. Right. So
I love that. That's another great tip. You're full of these great little tips, and I'm trying to write them all down.
That's all right. That's all right. That was a really interesting one. You know, if mm-hmm. I really need to focus on something, I just say, what am I going to think of next? And I don't know what it does to my brain, but it goes blank. Right. It's kind of like when somebody asks you, hey, tell me a joke. Now, you probably got dozens of jokes that you know, but mm-hmm. at that moment you're like, oh, I can't think of any.
Right. Right. So, okay. So we've got, the earplugs, which is really, I was thinking to myself as you were talking about it, sort of creating your own white noise in a way. Cause if you can hear yourself breathe, then you're listening to this, white noise type of tone.
True.
So, okay. So you put the earplugs in. Now, do you talk to your clients at all about when you're in bed, do you do anything other than sleep? In other words, do you watch TV? Do you read a book? Do you do any other activities? Or is bed strictly sleep for you?
I will say this. I forgot to mention I have clothing that are, bed clothing, right? Mm-hmm. Particular mm-hmm. shirt I like to wear, type of shirt I like to wear, shorts, and go to bed in those. They're not the clothes that I would normally wear during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's another little trigger that just says I'm going into sleep mode.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, I do not. Sometimes there's a conversation that occurs, mm-hmm. In bed, or sometimes the TV's on for a few more minutes. But no, it's not something that I only sleep in. I definitely mm-hmm. read, definitely write. But, once I put my head on the pillow and I get officially horizontal, mm-hmm. it doesn't take much longer. I mean, right. I'm all business. Once the head hits the pillow, I was like, I'm done talking. Right. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Great. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You've conditioned yourself and you have that habit and that you're used to it. It's working well for you. You've got the right things kind of lined up. So, all right. So you talked about not only having the alarm that you set an hour before you go to bed, but you said 4 to 5 hours prior to that, you're cutting out the caffeine, you're doing all these preparation tips to prepare for bed. What about, and you've talked a lot about kind of breathing throughout the conversation here. Are there any specific type of breathing techniques that you use for yourself or that you talk with clients about?
Well, I will tell you this, I probably first heard of box breathing back when I was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it to be very useful for just high stress moments.
Okay.
Test taking moments, things that, you had a lot of anxiety going in and it kind of helped you relieve some of that anxiety or butterflies even mm-hmm. before it was a physical test or an academic test or something like that, or just something, a stressful event that was occurring.
Can you describe what it is for someone who may not know what box breathing is?
Yeah, box breathing, you can pick different numbers how you want to do it, but probably the most common is a 4. So you take an inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, and then inhale for 4 seconds.
So kind of like you're moving around a box with
Going in a box. You're like, inhale, hold it, exhale, hold it, right, and just – they call it box breathing. So just 4 seconds in, 4 second hold, 4 seconds out, 4 seconds hold. And then there's some other ones too where you tend to breathe in a little longer, almost like a 2-to-1 ratio where you breathe in twice as much as you exhale, or right? Because you can exhale faster than you breathe in, especially if your nose breathing and your mouth exhaling. So there's different ways to play around, and there's multiple resources out there online that you can look at all the different methods. But you can also use breathing to wake yourself up, and do it almost like a hyperventilation, mm-hmm. right? So you're, just breathing really quickly and it gets everything aroused to, awaken a little quicker too. So there's times when you need one or the other,
right?
Depending on the situation,
right.
Sometimes you're just tired and you need to wake up, and that's a good way to stimulate, your nervous system through breathing. And that's one of the unique things about being human, is that we can actually control both sides of our nervous systems through breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, our parasympathetic side, that is our rest and digest, and our sympathetic side, that is our fight or flight, are all controlled through breathing.
Hmm.
So it's something that is a good skill to learn.
Right.
You're not going to be alive unless you're breathing, so you should be good at it. Right? And look at different look at different methods of the way to enhance that and make it more useful for you.
Right. So, okay, so you've talked about box breathing. You've talked about sort of hyperventilation to arouse yourself, to wake yourself up. Are there any other particular types of breathing that you either personally use or recommend to people to help them?
You know what? I will be honest with you. I'm not really the breathing expert. I'm much better at sleeping than I am breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you're looking on a variety of breathing options, my advice would be look into Wim Hof methodology of breathing. He's just a guy that does a whole lot of meditation and yoga and deep breathing skills.
Okay.
That a lot of people follow. Some people do long breath holds, see how long they can do their breath hold, and then they try to catch their breath really quickly to get their heart rate back down. So there's multiple ways to figure out, methods of breathing that will work for you, just like fitness. There's mm-hmm. multiple methodologies of fitness out there, that one of the neat things about it is we need to find what works best for us. And the same, ritual that I like to do prior to going to sleep may not be your ritual. You may have a different one. That's fine. As long as it's working and you can find yourself 7 to 8 hours of fairly uninterrupted sleep, you're doing the right thing.
Right. Well, so I do want to talk a little bit more about fitness, but before we do that, let's take another commercial break, and then we'll come back and pick up with fitness tips.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
All right. We are back on Sleep Science Today. We're talking with former Navy SEAL Stu Smith, and we were just about to get into a conversation on fitness tips. So, I realize there's a lot of different types of exercise and fitness options for different people. When it comes to exercises or fitness tips or tricks that might be most beneficial for someone who's trying to improve their sleep, what would you point to?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a couple of different ways to do that, because some will like to go rather intense in the morning and, go high energy, higher intensity training, so that may be sprints and powerlifting and, these workouts that just really get your heart rate up really
mm-hmm.
high.
Mm-hmm.
That is one way to kind of burn off stress, but it's also a way to stress you out. So one thing I always say is I get my workouts done in the morning, the hard ones,
mm-hmm.
and then in the late afternoon, evening, I will try to pull back and go a little bit easier and engage that parasympathetic part of my nervous system. It's a great way to do that is right after your evening meal, do something for like 20 or 30 minutes. And it can be an easy walk. It can be, you know, a stationary bike, treadmill, whatever, while you're watching the evening news, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And that I have found that to be very useful for just digestive purposes, you know, keeping it easy.
Right.
It can, you know, help your body regulate the sugar that's getting created and going into your bloodstream, gets used quickly, so it can have a blood sugar leveling effect if you move right after gently moving right after eating.
Okay.
A lot of times I will recommend people to do a 10-minute walk after every meal that they eat.
All right.
And they'll be surprised at how helpful that is. And if you don't have time to do a 10-minute walk, something that has been proven to be very effective is just 10 squats. Like if you're sitting in a cubicle after lunch, mm-hmm. you're starting to get tired, just stand up and sit down in your chair 10 times and do that every 30 minutes for the next couple of hours. And it's a way to get over some of that post meal narcolepsy, I call it. and it also helps your body regulate some of the sugars that are getting created. So anyway, you know, that is what I like to do as far as easy workouts. And then that gets me in a state of mind to go into sleeping. I will tell you this, people who have a hard time sleeping mm-hmm. often work out really hard at the end of work day.
Mm-hmm.
That's their, you know, you get off at 5 and from 5 to 6:30, they're working out really hard. And then they just can't go to sleep until almost midnight because that elevates their metabolism to a degree where you're not really in a sleep mode after working out vigorously, you right. know, in the evenings.
Right. So,
like I said, I get my hard workouts done in the morning. That gives me a lot of energy for my morning time. I'm probably most productive from 8 o'clock in the morning until noon.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take a little break, do some administrative stuff, and then start winding down a little bit in the late afternoon. And that helps me fall asleep at 9.
Right.
And I've done evening workouts too, really hard. And I've recognized this, that one, I had a harder time going to sleep. And two, I had weird dreams. It really kept my brain working in a weird way. Which disturbed my sleep as well.
You know? Right.
So
let me ask you this, you know, your whole life, you've been involved with exercise and taking care of yourself, taking care of your body, your mind, you know, all these things. There's a lot of people out there who, you know, life kind of takes over. They are working, they're taking care of kids, they're trying to go to school, they don't get the time to exercise, their diet may not be the best, and then they get to a point and they realize that they've kind of fallen out of shape. Maybe they put on extra weight. They don't have the stamina that they used to have. And now they say, you know, it's time for me to kind of regroup and I got to improve my sleep. I got to improve what I'm doing. Do you have any stories or success stories of clients that you've worked with that maybe kind of were in that place? And what did you do? Where did they go? How did they get to a better place?
Yeah. You know, it's very common that happens. I just happened to get into a habit at 13 years old and just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became part of my life, like eating and sleeping. You know, fitness has been a habit now for 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize not everybody has that same at all, same respect for it or just even same idea that is even a fun hobby, right? Not everybody finds it fun like I do, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gentleman who spent a good 20, 30 years making money, and he was really good at it, made a lot of money. And we just happened to be talking one day and he goes, "Hey, I'm going on vacation. I think I really need to reset my life. Would you like to go on vacation with me?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yeah, sure. I'll do the cooking." Right. It was a good deal.
Yeah.
And just went with his whole family. And We had a really good time, and all I really asked of him was to drink more water during the day, because I noticed when he was taking off his socks in the locker room that I could still see his socks on the side of his legs, you know, like he had really puffy legs, so he's retaining a lot of water. So I said, let's drink some more water, see what happens, and you know, take some salt out of your foods, and get a good night's sleep every night, right? And try to, and at this time it was more of a compromise. He liked to drink wine before bed, and I said, let's cut 50% of that wine, right? Instead of a whole bottle, we'll do half a bottle, you know, whatever that was, which is still a lot. But anyway, in a week, he lost 20 pounds. Now, that wasn't because we were doing it. He was already 320 pounds when we started, so we weren't able to do a lot of vigorous exercise. It was mostly walking, some stretching, and that first week was really walking, stretching, and drinking water. And we did it throughout the day for 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. You
know, it was just little spurts, right? Because he wasn't really able to handle a good long hour of hard workout. So now I didn't want to tire him out on his vacation either. So it was just putting in little spurts right after every meal, 10 minutes of walking, 10 minutes of stretching, drink a big glass of water. And then throughout the day, I'd just keep filling his water up, right? And where he was probably drinking about a gallon a day, but he was 320 pounds. He could handle that.
Right.
I don't recommend everybody drinking a gallon a day, you know, somewhere in that, depending on your body weight. But at the end of the week, his legs were no longer puffy. You know, his socks didn't stick to his feet. You couldn't see his rings around his legs. And he dropped 20 pounds. And we continued that process and started adding more weights and adding more exercises as he continued to lose more weight. And next thing you know, he's down to 220 pounds, lost 100 pounds, you know, by the end of the year, which – you know, all it really took was some basic exercises, nothing difficult. You know, he didn't even join a gym, had some dumbbells at the house and walked and watched what he ate and drank more water and went to sleep and got a good night's sleep. And being consistent and all of that really helped him, one, not only lose 100 pounds, but every one of his blood work numbers were better. No more high blood pressure, no more high blood sugar. You know, cholesterol's dropped drastically. Triglycerides dropped, and you know, he's no longer a case for metabolic syndrome. You know, he was actually becoming healthy.
Right, right.
And he was in his late 50s at the time. I was in my 30s whenever we did that, but. You know, he has continued on with that and is still going. So he's in his upper 70s now. So
wow. So yeah. So when you first started working with him, like you said, he spent a lot of time doing work for money, but he wasn't really taking care of his body. Was he, in addition to the weight that he had and the eating issues and things that you were talking about, did he have trouble sleeping in the beginning?
In fact, at first his doctor had recommended, you know, the CPAP because he was, you know, waking himself up like 50 times a night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that helped him. And then he actually learned how to get comfortable sleeping on his side. And then snoring was no longer an issue for him anymore. Got one of those extra long pillows that, you know, supported your
prop himself up.
Back. You know, yeah. And, that seemed to work for him really well, and he got off of the CPAP machine
because
he hated that thing. But it was helping him. I could tell it was helping him sleep better. But he, you know, once he dropped a little bit more weight, that kind of went away, the need for that CPAP, and then he found a better way to sleep that it wouldn't wake him up at night. And but yeah, sleep was a critical component of that, but more so, you know. When you balance all of it, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're breathing, hydration, you put it all into a balanced scale and then be consistent with it. That is the key. And it doesn't have to be hard. It just has to be consistent.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's as people become more and more aware of the impacts of sleep, in addition to all these other pieces that you're talking about, just the cardiovascular issues that can be improved with sleep. Obviously, if you're losing weight, if you're eating better, reducing the alcohol, stopping smoking, all those things that we hear about, but sleep is also an important element of that. And people who might have sleep apnea, like you were describing to this client, if they're not treating it and they're struggling and gasping for air and they're waking up through the evening, that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on their heart and their cardiovascular system. And, you know, it can lead to heart attacks and all sorts of issues. So, you know, all of these things are super important to pay attention to. So we've got about, you know, 30 some odd seconds left in the show. So what I'd love is if you could give us sort of your list of top tips, like what's the most important thing that you think people should do to help improve their lives, their physical health, you know, their sleep?
Moving with consistency, and that is anything. I don't care if it's walking, yard work, whatever you find that's somewhat enjoyable, it's probably best to find something enjoyable. Because if you hate it, chances are you're not going to do it consistently. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of that is it's a hunt and peck game, right? Try this, try that, try group classes at a gym, try yoga class, try, you know, walking around the block with friends. You know, whatever that is, you know, you can find something that you can make consistent eventually. Right. And it may take a month or two of different challenges every day, but I promise you, you'll find it, and you'll find something fun, and it might be a sport even. Pickleball is a big one,
right?
A lot of people are picking up pickleball. So,
well, I gotta stop you there because our clock has run out. But I appreciate that. I mean, just the whole panoply of little tips that you gave us throughout the show are really helpful. And like I said, I was trying to write them down for myself. I think it's great. So Stu Smith, you've got several books out there. I know they're available on Amazon. We'll try and put some links to them in our website with this podcast. And we appreciate the service, you know, your service for our country. And we appreciate the service you do now as a fitness coach. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. So for those of you listening, be sure you visit www.sleepsciencetoday. You'll find links where you can listen to this podcast. You can watch us by video on YouTube. You'll sign up for our mailing list. We'll give you special offers and special opportunities that other people wouldn't have access to. So again, Sleep Science Today, and we look forward to seeing you on our next show.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, Sleep Science Today and sleep better tonight.